We are the fifth Sunday of Lent. Believe it or not, this is the last week of Lent. And then next Sunday, with Palm Sunday, also known as Passion Sunday, we begin Holy Week. And we start making our final march, you know, towards Easter. So just think, Easter 2 weeks from today. But before you can get to Easter, you need to live through Good Friday first. Now, in today's gospel, we have Jesus once again talking about his upcoming death, but also his resurrection. Once again, trying to explain to his disciples the things that are going to happen. And they still don't seem to get it. Now, it's really easy to be hard on the apostles and the other disciples because we know the whole story. We've been telling this story for 2,000 years. But they are in the midst of the story. They don't see the end yet. And I have a feeling that no matter what you've been told and what you may know about the prophets and scripture beforehand, what Jesus is talking about is just so hard for them to comprehend. I think there's a part of them that understands that Jesus is going to probably die. And that's because he made a lot of enemies. You know, the high priests were angry with him. So were many of the Pharisees who, a lot of them held high positions. He's being noticed by the Roman government. And his disciples at least had to know that it was possible that Jesus would die, because he would have been considered not only a heretic by the high priest, and that's what they tried to arrest them on, he was also considered an insurrectionist by the Romans, and that was the reason Jesus actually was crucified, was as an insurrectionist, an enemy of the state. And they had to know how outspoken Jesus was that something terrible was bound to happen eventually, because this is what happened. These were people that, you know, they weren't living so much in a bubble. Crucifixions didn't happen in a nice, quiet space. Crucifixions happened in very busy public, you know, crossroads and on top of hills, places where people would see what was going on. The Romans just did not use crucifixion just because they were mean-spirited. They wanted it to be a public display. They wanted it to be a warning to other people. And people who they were even suspected of being against the state were often hung on the cross. And sometimes it was just because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. So the disciples had to at least have some feeling that something was going to happen. But of course, as most of us do today, we always like to put bad things out of our head. We like to pretend that's not going to happen. We had a few weeks ago where Peter told Jesus to stop talking about that. But here Jesus is telling them about the necessity of this death. That for us to have eternal life, Jesus first has to die and be risen. To end death, it takes a death. And so, once again, Jesus uses the metaphor of a seed. You know, we've had in the past where Jesus talks about the mustard seed. You know, if we have a little bit of faith, how it can grow into something big. In the story of the sower, he talks about the importance of spreading out the seed and what ground it goes in. And when you know, the word of God, you know, takes hold in one person, other people, you know, come of that. Well, Jesus once again is talking about a grain of wheat, a seed that has to first die for it can come back and produce a lot more fruit. Now, sometimes, even today, even though we know the story, sometimes I think it's even tough for us to face this fact that there's a part of us that has to die to this life we're living so that we may live eternally. That we have to give up living for ourselves and begin living for God for us to truly be part of this kingdom of heaven. You know, every baptism is a death. You know, we never like to think about that when we get the cute little baby all wrapped up in the long white lacy, you know, christening gown, that a baptism is a death so that the person could have eternal life. That they're dying of their old selves so that they can be made new. And each week when we do the Eucharist, when we take the bread and when I snap it, we call that the fraction, that's more than a symbol. What we are doing there at that moment is reliving Christ being broken for us. What we do at a communion is not a metaphor. We're actually remembering. We're taking it apart one more time to remind us of the importance of Christ's death. You know, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. So as I said, we are coming up to Easter, and first we need to live through Good Friday. And the season of Lent, this is a time of preparation for the resurrection, but it's a time for us to take time out for prayers in our life, to meditate, to read, but to really think about what Christ has given for our salvation. To stop and to really consider what it meant for Christ to give up his life so that we could know eternal life. Like I said, we have one official week of Lent left, and then we move into Holy Week. And next week is probably the most confusing day of the church calendar. It starts off very triumphantly and glorious, and then it takes us right down to the foot of the cross at Golgotha. And so this week, I encourage you to take extra time out to pray, to meditate, to think about your relationship, not only with God, but your relationship with one another. To consider what it is that Christ is calling you to die of. You know, what are those things in your life that you need to set aside, that you need to put out of the way so that you can do God's will? And what is it going to take for you to do so? Being a Christian is a wonderful and joyful thing. But at times it comes with a certain amount of difficulty, of sorrow. That willingness to grow up and put away those things that we knew, so that we can do God's work. So my sisters and brothers, I encourage you to continue throughout the season of Lent and to prepare your hearts, your minds, and your bodies for all that is to come.